Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160, and with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Ian.
And we've talked a lot about Christopher Cantwell for the last 2 years or so since he ended up in a federal trial for basically saying the same sort of things one might say to one 12-year-old to another while playing Call of Duty online on Xbox or something like that. Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, in an argument with another Nazi online.
Yeah.
Two Nazis fighting. And the FBI figured they'd spend taxpayer dollars to break up the Nazis from fighting and send one of them to prison on taxpayer dollars.
Isn't it amazing that the best way to have just resolved this whole thing would have been to just let these Nazis continue destroying their own movement?
They did a fine job destroying their own movement. Like, I remember Cantwell was all talking about how the alt-right or whatever was going to be on the rise after this Charlottesville thing that happened. What was it called? Unite the Right rally?
It was Unite the Right.
And really the whole thing just fell apart.
Well, it's certainly not on the rise. And
nope.
I can see why someone who intended the Unite the Right rally and, you know, felt energized by that whole thing because they're one of these alt-right people. I can see why after something like that they would think, oh, it's energized, it's going to be big now. But in reality, it hasn't worked out that way. They immediately resorted to infighting, which isn't surprising. If you take a bunch of hateful, toxic people and you ask them to work together, it's just a matter of time before they're at each other's throats, because that's
sure
what toxic and hateful people do.
Well, I mean, not only is it what toxic and hateful people do, and they probably do it a lot worse than normal, but, I mean, every organization is subject to this. Every one of them.
That's true.
It's just a people problem where people that just can't get along with one another. I mean, I forget what the rule is, but somebody came up with one of those maxims or whatever that whenever a group gets larger than like 30 people, you start to have these issues where somebody else wants to take it over, or they want to run it their way, and then they get mad at somebody, or somebody sleeps with somebody else's wife, or, you know, there's always some sort of stupid, usually it's petty, drama
between people. I'm not surprised to hear that, and I'm not surprised at what happened today. Evidently, if for those who don't remember, Christopher Cantwell is serving time in federal prison, but he was recently transported to North Carolina, where he and 16 other, quote, white nationalist leaders and organizations were being sued over the Unite the Right rally by various individuals and organizations.
I believe he was transferred to Virginia. The trial was in Charlottesville.
But it was North Carolina for some reason.
No, he was being kept. He wasn't actually being kept at the Charlottesville jail, but he was at a jail in a nearby county.
I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. So a jury has ordered 17 of these people to pay $26 million in damages over violence that erupted during the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think any of these white nationalists have $26 million.
No, I can tell you. As somebody who, I'm technically not, like, officially Cantwell's minister or whatever, but I am a minister, and I do try to minister peace to that man as much as I can.
He needs it.
And so I'm one of the few people who actually treats him like a human being and tries to, you know, show him love. So I helped clean out his apartment last year, which was actually not really an apartment as much as it was a house, like a full-on, you know, full-story house. And a lot of that stuff I had to throw out. He's got, to his name at this point, a storage unit's worth of some equipment. I mean, the dude doesn't have probably more than $10,000 or $15,000 worth of equipment. And if you were to sell it at a Craigslist or auction or something, it probably wouldn't pull in more than $5,000.
That's so sad.
That's all he's got.
I saw an article about him in the Keene Sentinel today when I went to the store next door about him appealing his prison sentence, and it reminded me of the time when I realized that he's probably one of the most loneliest people in the United States. So I asked him, I was like, hey, you want to just...
You mean prior to the prison sentence?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I asked him, hey, do you want to just go to the bar and have a drink, not even talk about politics or anything like that, just chill and listen to some rock music, have a drink, or go see a rock show or something? He was susceptible to the idea, but it never happened. For one, he said that he wouldn't be welcome in any of the bars in Keene, to which I responded, well, if you go there with me, I don't think anyone's going to just approach you and call you a hateful Nazi.
Right.
But it never happened, which sucks.
For listeners that don't know, you're trans.
Yes. Right. I mean, he has to be lonely, and this is just rubbing salt in the wounds that he's been repeatedly given for the last, you know, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, he
most
already...
Of which, to be fair, he did bring on himself.
The reason... Yeah, absolutely he did. Now, the reason why... That's not to say that this lawsuit was legitimate. I mean, I can't say that I know all the details in the case, per se, but essentially the lawsuit, as I understand it, was alleging that there was some sort of a conspiracy between the various different defendants.
Most of whom hate each other.
Yeah, these various different defendants to create some sort of a violent encounter with the plaintiffs. That's my understanding of it. If you were paying closer attention to this, feel free to give us a call at 603-283-6160 and you know, give us more detail here. But you know, the plaintiffs spent a lot of money apparently running this particular lawsuit on things like attorneys. Allegedly, many millions of dollars were spent just bringing this particular lawsuit, and so it's pretty clear that they wanted to punish these men for the actions that they took. And essentially, Chris Cantwell's position on this was he didn't plan anything with these people, but ultimately this is a civil case, and so it's not a reasonable doubt that a jury has to decide on. It's a question of preponderance of the evidence, which is a much lower legal level of, you know, that you have to reach in order to find somebody responsible in this particular case. So whereas in a criminal case, if there's any doubt, you know, any reasonable doubt that so-and-so didn't do the things that they're alleged to have done, you have to acquit. But in the case of preponderance of the evidence, it's more like, and again, I'm not an attorney, so I'm probably not giving the best example here, but a preponderance of the evidence is, well, what do you think's likely? Here's some evidence. What do you think's likely?
I just always assumed that any jury trial was to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's not good for the United States, considering how many civil lawsuits there actually are on all sorts of nonsense.
Right. And so, I mean, again, as you said, Cantwell put himself in this position. Obviously, if he had never gone to this particular event, he wouldn't have been included in the lawsuit. And his position was that he didn't have any contact with these people, that they didn't have any plans like that. His position was that they contacted the police, actually, in Charlottesville to get a permit for the event that they had, and that it was the Antifa people, the ones who brought this lawsuit, that were the ones who were not permitted to be there, yet they showed up anyway at that event. And so his position would be that the reverse was true, that the Antifa people were there to start a fight, and that he and his friends were not. However, obviously,
well,
I think the truth can be true on both sides, as far as I suspect some on both sides wanted to have a fight that night.
I would suspect you're correct, but just based on what these groups are calling themselves, I mean, you have the fascists on one side and the anti-fascists on the other side. The fascists were there first, and the anti-fascists, the people who describe themselves as opposing fascism, were like, hey, there are fascists over there. Let's go punch them.
Well, actually, as I understand the situation, the Antifa were there first in the park. So,
but
even
were they there because they knew the white nationalists were coming?
Yes, they were. So the white nationalist people had themselves a permit. They talked to the cops and all that. So everybody knew when they were going to be there. It wasn't a surprise. And of course, there's infiltrators on both sides, right? So there's people from Antifa that have infiltrated the Unite the Right people in advance and were going to their meetings. So everybody knew when this was going to go down. And when the Tiki Torch mob showed up, there was already a group of the Antifa people that were surrounding the war monument, the Civil War monument that was there.
Well, after a nearly month-long civil trial, the jury in U.S. District Court deadlocked on two key claims, but found the white nationalists were liable on four other claims in the lawsuit filed by nine people who suffered physical or emotional injuries. during the 2 days of demonstrations. So some number of people got their feelings hurt by this.
And they're getting paid big time.
Well, in theory, right, the court is ordering the defendants to pay this amount of money, but I doubt any of them have this kind of money.
I have no idea.
We're going to talk more about
whatever they have is now the defendants, or the plaintiffs.
And this is all about sending a message, it looks like, and we're going to talk more about it. You can weigh in, 603-283-6160. What do you think about jury trials not having to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt in civil cases?
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can weigh in, share your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603
crazy.
And we're talking about Chris Cantwell and 16 other white nationalist organizations and individuals who have been ordered in, I've already forgotten the state, in Charlottesville at the very least.
That's Virginia.
Virginia. It stuck in as one of the Carolinas in my head. I don't even know which one, but that's how it stuck in my head. Been ordered to pay $27 million, and I just don't think any of the defendants actually have that kind of money. I think a lot of them were representing themselves because they couldn't even...
No, actually only a couple of them were, from what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, Cantwell was one of, like, two people representing themselves.
Well, that's encouraging, at least.
He, as I understand it, is facing, like, $750,000 liability on this one.
I liked hearing the comments about, you know, the prosecutors saying, or the attorneys for the plaintiffs saying, this is not a podcast, Your Honor. Because, I mean, he's Chris Cantwell. So, of course, you give him the stand and he's going to talk like he's doing an episode of his podcast.
Yeah, he did, including, like, saying words that he would say on his podcast as well in front of the jury.
I am not at all surprised by that because I was in his studio. I was on his show a couple of times. He had signs there reminding himself not to say certain words all the time.
Yeah.
Attorney Roberta Kaplan said the plaintiff's lawyers plan to refile the suit so a new jury can decide the two deadlocked claims.
Oh my God. She didn't specify
what those were. She called the amount of damages awarded from the other counts, quote, eye-opening, that sends a loud message.
Wow.
The verdict, although mixed, is a rebuke to the white nationalist movement, particularly for the two dozen individuals and organizations accused in a federal lawsuit of orchestrating violence against African Americans, Jews, and others in a meticulously planned conspiracy. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, that's what I want to know about. I mean, if that's really true, I'd like to know about it. And obviously, I'm not going to sit there and listen to a weeks-long trial. Somebody did, though, so feel free to break it down for us.
Yeah. Are they referring to this trial here when they refer to that? They said it sounds. They make it sound like they've been brought up on, you know, federal charges of orchestrating violence.
I've not heard about that.
Orchestrating violence is a criminal matter, right?
Yeah, I have not heard about any such charges.
I haven't either, and they didn't include a link. However, I do know that back when I was using Telegram, I was in a number of white nationalist chats, not because I'm a white nationalist, but because I just kept getting added to them, and it was amusing to me to stay in them and just screw with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not meticulously planned at all. It's the most disorganized nonsensical chaos I've ever seen. White nationalist leader Richard Spencer filed two appeals, saying the entire theory of that verdict is fundamentally flawed. And I tend to agree based on what I've heard about it. They weren't communicating, planning any sort of violence or anything like that. It just sort of happened. It was activism.
Yeah, again, I suspect. Now, look, that's not to say there probably weren't some that were.
But that's very different from, you know, the leaders planning for that to happen.
And Chris Cantwell's not a fool, okay? And he's done some stupid things, but so has everybody in their lives.
Sure.
Cantwell's done some explicitly stupid things, but he's, at the same time, relatively intelligent. So I find it hard to believe that Cantwell would want to plan something like this. I think that he probably planned for the possibility that there could be violent encounters in that he armed himself and went down there with the intention to defend himself. But again, maybe I haven't seen all the evidence in the case. So, you know, what is it that we're missing here? It's just, it's hard to believe, knowing Chris personally, it's hard to believe that he would have been doing something like that. Like his public position was, we had a permit, we talked to the cops, you know, this wasn't some sort of planned violent attack.
All the more reason to just not talk to the cops, really. It didn't help at all in this case, did it?
It almost never does.
The ones who talked to the cops, some of them ended up in jail, and a lot of them just ended up being ordered to pay $27 million in damages. Mm-hmm. That's what talking to the cops gets you.
Well, and also hanging around with these white nationalist people.
True. Richard Spencer goes on, it was activism by means of lawsuits, and that is absolutely outrageous. I'm doing fine right now because I had kind of accepted in my heart the worst that could happen. I had hoped, of course, but I'm not terribly surprised. Jurors were unable to reach unanimous verdicts on two pivotal claims based on a 150-year-old federal law passed after the Civil War, which was meant to shield freed slaves from violence and protect their civil rights. The Ku Klux Klan Act contains a rarely used provision that allows private citizens to sue other citizens for civil rights violations. Under those claims, thank goodness they're going to explain it further because that was not very clear, the plaintiffs asked the jury to find that the defendants engaged in a conspiracy to commit racially motivated violence and that they knew about the conspiracy but failed to stop it from being carried out.
So the jurors could not agree on that?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So what the hell claims did they agree on? I thought that was the thrust of the case. So what are the other ones? I'm hoping they get into it. Like, where are the $27 million or whatever, the $750,000 for Cantwell? What were those claims?
Well, the jury did find the defendants liable under a Virginia state law conspiracy claim and awarded $11 million in damages to the plaintiffs. Jurors also found five of the main organizers liable under a claim that alleged they subjected two of the plaintiffs to intimidation, harassment, or violence that was motivated by racial, religious, or ethnic animosity. The jury awarded the plaintiffs $1.5 million in damages on that claim. It doesn't specify which one of the five organizers of the rally they're referring to. The final two claims were made against James Alex Fields Jr., an avowed Hitler admirer who intentionally drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one person and injuring 19 others. The jury found Fields, who is serving life in prison for murder and hate crimes, liable under $6.8 million in damages. The jury awarded the same plaintiffs nearly
He's never paying a dime of that, obviously. He's in prison.
Yes, it's a complete nonsensical claim. Mm-hmm. Will the government pay these for him?
No, God, no.
Okay. Hire's mother, Susan Brose, said that the verdict sends a very clear message that hate speech put into action has consequences. Now, I don't remember the details entirely, but it seems like the guy who was driving the car was just trying to go to a place, if I remember correctly, and as was all of the trend at the time, they said, we're going to block traffic. And instead of doing what everyone else does and just stopping, this guy decided, no, I'm going to keep going. You're in the road. I have the right of way. I don't remember if that's actually what happened, but that was how I understood it at the time.
Well, he doesn't have the right of way, and he was found guilty of murder.
Yeah, I just don't know if I agree with that assessment, because I was in Memphis when Black Lives Matter shut down the I-40 mm-hmm. and completely halted traffic for like a 12-hour period. If someone had somewhere to actually be, can't say I would think they were guilty of murder because someone decided they wanted to try to stop traffic. Not that I condone that, but it's definitely at least a gray area, in my opinion.
Well, apparently the jury disagreed on that case.
They did.
They found him guilty.
The defendants were convicted.
And I suspect there were some reasons for it, right? Like, you know, the guy.
The juries like to find people guilty.
That's true. But did you see the Wisconsin dude who plowed through like 40 people a couple days ago?
I did.
Yeah. You think that was just a dude who was frustrated?
No, he had actually done the same thing previously, like just a few days prior.
Really?
He had like run over his girlfriend or wife or something,
wow.
And he was out on bail for doing that when he did this. 603-283-6160. If I'm wrong about how I remember this, definitely call in and correct me. 603-283.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Gas prices on the mind of many at the White House, including Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, who's being pressed on the issue at the White House, and she agrees that gas prices are too high.
Low-income families already spend up to 30% of their monthly income on fuel, on energy.
The man accused of slamming into a Wisconsin Christmas parade is in court. The judge saying he's being charged with several counts of intentional homicide and other charges.
First-degree intentional homicide regarding victim B is a Class A felony. Again, the maximum possible sentence is a sentence to imprisonment for life.
Daryl Brooks is accused of driving his SUV through parade route barriers in Waukesha, Wisconsin, killing six people and injuring dozens more. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of them, and I will tell you there's plenty of them.
Hormel Foods CEO Jim Snee speaking there on CNBC. This is your Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you a little bit more this year. A survey from the American Farm Bureau finding that the price of Thanksgiving dinner is up about 14% on average. Turkey's seeing the sharpest price increase, but according to Snee, there's plenty of turkeys available.
There's a story or a myth out there that there's a shortage of turkeys. And we are producing and have sold more turkeys this year than we have the last several years. So I think, you know, we encourage many of our consumers to buy early and buy often.
A federal jury in Ohio has found that Walmart, Walgreens, and CVS Health were responsible for fueling the opioid epidemic that has ravaged communities across the nation. The decision marks the first time that a jury has delivered a verdict in a case against the national pharmacy chains. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us. Share your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. Now, not everyone who has something valid and relevant to say can be a beautiful Instagram influencer, right? That's really a very niche category of people who are both clever and funny, and you want to hear what their recommendations are because you think they're fascinating, and they're also attractive to look at.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to find.
Except on Instagram, but that's just because that's where all those people with those characteristics went. But even then, the vast majority of people on Instagram aren't going to be one of those. So what do these people do if they have something intelligent they want to say or something they want to express, but they're ugly? They use a virtual influencer.
Maybe so. And I do want to get into that. I know you want to jump into this, but I just pulled something else up on the Charlottesville situation. I thought, you know, we should share here about this. Because the big question on Charlottesville is, well, what exactly was the evidence that persuaded the jury to find, first of all, the jury would not find them, would not find the Nazis in that case, or the white supremacists, or white nationalists, or whatever. They're different people, right? They're 16 or whatever different defendants in that case. They wouldn't find them responsible on the two federal conspiracy to commit violence charges. But there was a, they did find them responsible for a civil charge in Virginia. So the federal charges, no. But for whatever reason, the federal court was able to hear the Virginia civil allegations, and they found them responsible of that, and that's where, you know, millions of dollars are being awarded as damages in this case. So looking at this story from NPR, the defendants tried to distance themselves from Fields, the guy that, you know, got convicted of murder for running into a woman in his car, in testimony, and said they engaged in violence only when they were attacked. They also said their language on internet forums and chat rooms was hyperbolic and protected by the First Amendment. And it should have been, because that's what the First Amendment was designed to do, is protect the ugly speech. James Kolnick, who was the attorney for a couple of the plaintiffs, said in his closing speech, quote, "The bravery of the plaintiffs and the horrific injuries that many of them suffer don't prove a conspiracy. They've proven to you that the alt-right is the alt-right. They're racist. They're anti-Semites. No kidding. You knew that when you walked in here."
Sure.
"Civil trials have a lower burden than criminal ones to prove their case, as we mentioned. As a result, the plaintiffs didn't need to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt, but instead only a preponderance of the evidence, which is more likely to be true than not true."
So, which is a completely useless judgment call that is completely subjective to the individual. Well, that sounds more reasonable to me.
Right. So basically, it sounds to me like the plaintiffs didn't have to actually present any real evidence of a conspiracy, just to simply say that, hey, look, these guys are bad guys. They came together on this night, so obviously they planned to come together on this night. It's not unbelievable that they also planned to be violent, even though we don't have any real evidence that they planned to be violent. And the jury, of course, looks at these guys, and they're, you know, a-holes. And, you know, Chris Cantwell certainly wasn't a nice guy when he was speaking to them, right? Like, he was trying to be nice guy Chris Cantwell, but he peppered his words with the N-word and other, you know, whatever. So he clearly was a despicable...
In the courtroom.
Yeah, but clearly was a despicable character. Didn't win over the jury as I think he had hoped that he was going to, and they found him... yeah, they found him responsible along with everyone else. Lawyers with the plaintiffs have acknowledged. Now, this is interesting because this is what Cantwell was alleging about this case, that it was basically brought to destroy him financially and the other defendants. Lawyers with the plaintiffs acknowledged that one of the goals of the lawsuit was to diminish the ability of white supremacists to spread their message and influence by draining them financially. Amy Spitalnik, the executive director of Integrity
First... Man, that's really not the way, you know, free speech and the exercise of free speech was supposed to work in the United States.
Right. So here's what one of their attorneys said, a director of Integrity First for America. She said in an interview with NPR in October, quote, "We know that we can really bankrupt, disrupt, and dismantle hate groups and their leaders through civil litigation."
I mean, especially if they don't even really need evidence, they just need to persuade the jury that this is more likely than not true.
Right. So basically, anytime these people get together, you have a group of people who are against them show up. Some sort of a, you know, fracas ensues. Somebody gets hurt or whatever. And then the people who showed up to counter-protest, which is what the Antifa people were doing there, they were doing a counter-protest, they get to say things like they were scared for their lives. Some plaintiffs were said they were terrified for their lives at this event.
At this event that they went to voluntarily with the intention of protesting the white nationalists.
That's right.
So they knew what they were doing when they went there.
Correct. Yep. But they said that the white supremacists encircled the counter-protesters.
Yes, because they were at the place that the protesters, the Unite the Right people, were scheduled to go to.
Right. So basically any protest now that some group doesn't like, they can go and get into a fight at that protest, claim that they were outnumbered or scared, you know, for their lives, and that the people they were against are really bad guys, and get millions of dollars in judgments against them. Because they have a group of attorneys who are willing to file basically these frivolous civil cases and tie these dudes up in court. They're saying they're going to take they're going to sue again, right, on these two charges where they couldn't find where the jury did not find them responsible, the two federal charges. They're saying they're going to bring another suit.
Is there not such a thing as double jeopardy in civil suits?
I guess not.
Absolutely absurd how different civil suits are from criminal suits.
The term that Cantwell used was lawfare. Instead of warfare, lawfare, using the law, using the system, using the civil court system to financially punish people that you don't like. And that's pretty sick.
It is, and that's exactly what they've admitted to doing, and they're happy about it. Like, hey,
they got away with it.
This is eye-opening. I don't know if they're actually going to get any money out of these people. It seems like, at least in some cases, that's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible. But still,
well, whatever money they have is to the, you know, to the defendants at this point. And so, you know, even if they had something, now they have nothing.
Yeah, if they wanted to destroy the right or the alt-right, this was definitely a successful method of doing so, but an immoral one.
And look, I mean, I don't agree with the things that these people have to say, but I also agree with the idea of free speech. And I think that this is the intention, as they're saying, is to chill their free speech. And so I have to oppose these methods. Even though I don't agree with the alt-right, I think they should be free to go to a damn protest and, you know, have it without having to fight with people that oppose them and then lose, you know, in civil court. I think this is pretty sick.
Not to mention some of them land in prison. What? No, I don't think Christopher Cantwell went to prison.
He went to jail while he was awaiting trial from Charlottesville. There were state level charges that were brought against him for assault or battery or whatever, and he took a plea deal on that.
At a protest that they had scheduled to gone to, and Antifa went there first.
Yeah, Antifa showed up with obviously the intention to get into something with them.
Because they knew it would work. I mean, some of the white nationalists went to jail and they all just got sued. Well, a fair number of them just got sued.
Yeah.
Got everything handed over in a federal courtroom.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly an attack on freedom of speech. And the thing is, you got to remember about free speech is they're going to come after the unattractive ones first, the ones that are ugly,
yes.
the ugly opinions. Those are the ones that are going to get targeted. And so shame on this jury if, you know, unless there was actually evidence for a conspiracy to commit violence, then it sounds to me like they just punished these people because they didn't like them. And that's wrong.
It is wrong, and I mean, you're absolutely right. We obviously don't agree with the alt-right. We don't support them. They're racist. We're on the record repeatedly disavowing them and, you know, their silly reasons for being racist in the first place. But that's why they should be allowed to have free speech, because we're allowed to have free speech to point out why they're incorrect.
Right. We want to counter that with more speech, not with lawsuits.
Yeah, lawsuits are not a way to achieve anything positive,
mm-mm.
Especially not over frivolous nonsense like this, where these 17 people just happen to organize a rally, so you and your Antifa buddies, who are anti-fascist, go to this rally of fascists, and there's a fight, and then suddenly people are in jail, and you have $27 million in damages coming over from the alt-right, destroying their movement, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it wasn't done in the right way. You should have argued against them and destroyed their movement that way.
And now they're going to be empowered to do it more.
Hopefully there won't be any more Unite the Right rallies, though. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tech.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The top 20 cryptocurrencies, regrettably, it's fallen down to number 21. And this may leave people out there wondering, well, what even is Bitcoin Cash? What makes it different from Bitcoin? What is any of this? And what is a cryptocurrency? Head on over to Bitcoin.com. Click Getting Started at the top of the page. There you can watch a few short videos that will teach you the basics about this technology. And it's important. It's been around for more than a decade now. It's clearly not going anywhere. It's well past time for you to learn about it because it could change your life. Bitcoin.com has everything you need to know about cryptocurrency. You can get as deep into it as you want. But if you already know about cryptocurrency, stay up to date on the latest headlines at news.bitcoin.com. All on a sleek, easy-to-use modern website. That's Bitcoin.com.
It's interesting, though, looking at the CoinGecko website, which is one of those. There's two really big sites, CoinMarketCap.com and CoinGecko.com, that kind of give you a ranking of the different cryptos out there. And it's not entirely accurate to say that Bitcoin Cash is the number 21 cryptocurrency, because there's a lot of Ethereum tokens that have gathered a lot of popularity and a lot of market size or market value.
I know, and personally, if I was making a website that monitored and tracked these things, I would not include any ERC-20 tokens, with the exception of maybe the huge ones like Tether.
Well, the neat thing is that you can actually filter them out.
Oh.
So if you click on the...
If you exclude the things that aren't actually cryptocurrencies and are actually tokens on a blockchain...
Right. I don't think it's a perfect list. So, for instance, like when you... you can click on categories and then select just cryptocurrency. And if you do that, then the list goes 1, Bitcoin, 2, Ripple, 3, Dogecoin, 4, Litecoin, 5, Algorand, don't know what that one is, 6, Bitcoin Cash. So that would make Bitcoin Cash number 6. And you know, even down the list a little bit, Dash is like number, I think it's number 10. Dash is number 10 on that list, but if you look at Dash on the full list, it's number 82.
Wow, many tokens and other...
Yeah, garbage. Other non-cryptos, basically. It's just full of tokens.
How's Monero doing on the ranking?
Now, that's the thing. They leave out some of them. So Monero's left out of cryptocurrency. I don't know why. They leave out Bitcoin SV. So it's not a perfect list, but it is a way to cut a lot of things out. I think there's also a filter method as well that you can filter stuff. So you can kind of whittle down the list and do what you're talking about.
If you whittled it down the right way, you could set it up so that Bitcoin Cash is the number one in the category, right? Just define the terms to exclude Bitcoin and Ripple and the others, and eventually, hey, look at that.
Well, I mean, that sounds like it'd be a little dishonest, because now Dogecoin is more of a popular cryptocurrency than Bitcoin Cash as far as its market cap is concerned.
Which is shocking to me.
It's not to say it's as useful. You can certainly use Bitcoin Cash way more. You can use Dash way more. There's so many more opportunities to actually spend those things than to do things like with Litecoin or Dogecoin.
Yeah, I remember when I first got to Keene years ago asking one of the business owners if they accepted Litecoin, because I happened to have some. And the answer I got then was no. And I was like, okay, well, I'll flip it into Bitcoin Cash or something, which was very easy to do at the time because Shapeshift hadn't added their KYC requirements yet. If I remember the time
correctly.
They've
now gotten rid
of, by the way. They have, because they decentralized. Good on them for that.
They're in the process of becoming a decentralized, autonomous organization and getting rid of their corporation completely. And they've moved over to the Thor chain, which is a decentralized exchange where you can actually swap between what they call level one cryptos. So like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum and there's a few others. But it's pretty interesting. And so... So the Shapeshift folks have actually embraced the decentralized structure, and they've gotten
that's
rid
really
of KYC.
News.
Yeah,
I'm
that's my understanding, at least.
I always preferred them over Changely back in the day when I actually regularly shifted cryptocurrencies from one to another for whatever reason. Changely was misleading about what the fee was actually going to be, because it wouldn't tell you the fee up front.
Oh, that's not good.
It would just add it at
Surprise.
The end, and you're like, oh, I didn't get as much Ethereum as I thought I was going to.
Oof. Well, Ethereum.
But, yeah, or whatever cryptocurrency. But Shapeshift would tell you at the beginning, hey, look, this is how much BCH you're sending. This is how much BTC you're going to get.
Yep.
Changely, not so much. So I always liked Shapeshift, and they were like, oh, no, we have to KYC you. And then their account creation process was weird, and I didn't remember which email address I used, so I ended up with like six different Shapeshift accounts at one point. I was like, I don't even need this anymore. I have no need for Shapeshift, so I'm done with it now.
Yeah, I'm glad they went the direction that they did. That was a smart move.
Yeah, decentralized finance is going to be a big deal. I suspect that's part of the reasons that this is able to happen for them, is because of the DeFi revolution that seems to be taking place.
Yep, absolutely. And it makes them less susceptible to government targeting, because they're not going to have a corporate office.
Yeah, there's no head to chop off, so there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
It's just decentralized. That's the beauty of decentralization, really, is it?
And it's what the government hates about cryptocurrency.
That's why I love it so much, though, because it just makes them so angry, and there's really nothing they can do about it, because there's no Bitcoin programmer that they can just assassinate to make Bitcoin go away.
It's so frustrating to be able to talk about it. Like, we can talk about cryptocurrency, but you and I are under bail conditions, as are the rest of the Crypto Six, where we can't actually use cryptocurrency, so we can't go and support our favorite businesses with crypto in the area anymore that we helped set up to take crypto. That is, you know, in a lot of cases, their preferred method of payment. They won't let us do that. And I have to, you know, I'm still interested in crypto, so I still read about it. I still read about it. Are you allowed to read about it now? Can you actually, you have your listening?
It depends on the website, but yeah, essentially.
But a crypto news site you could go to, as long as you can't buy or sell crypto there, right?
It depends on the reason I'm going there.
Gotcha. I am able to read things about cryptocurrency, and so it's like, there's so many cool things that are going on out there, and it's like, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, like the stupid art project things, the NFTs. Yeah, the brilliant idea we had to make the ultimate NFT, which was just a single black pixel, and sell it as the root of all that is, right?
Yeah. You did make the art.
Yes, I went out of my... I took 12 minutes of my life to reduce a
Paint.net, which is similar to Paint, but it actually has PNGs and transparency layers and stuff like that, to create a one-by-one black pixel and save it as a piece of art.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we can't turn it into an NFT.
No, and we can't even ask someone to.
Right.
So it's like, okay, we have to have someone volunteer to do this, and that's never going to happen. Because I can't just do it myself. And to do something that stupid, I probably would have bothered to learn how to turn this into an NFT because it would have just amused me to do it. And that's the reason I do most things. But regrettably, can't
do that.
Yeah. Even, and it's not worth it. Like, is creating an NFT accessing, you know, crypto, virtual currencies? Like, I don't want to fight that battle over something stupid like a black pixel. Thanks, though. But a lot of people were having success with NFTs, and I think it sort of died down these days.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, there's still plenty of people like the caller we had a few weeks ago who, from what I could gather from talking to him, he didn't really seem to know what NFTs were. He just heard that they were all the craze, and he just sort of wanted to, you know, get in on that.
Somebody launched a website called the NFT Bay. And they put a torrent up with, like, all of the NFTs.
Nice.
They, like, right-clicked and saved all the JPEGs or whatever, and they put them all together in a torrent. So if you want to get every NFT that are available on, like, these different NFT selling sites out there, then you can now do that.
I love that, because one of my primary criticisms of NFTs is that they are just a way of doing copyright without the government. And I don't support intellectual property. Even when it's not the government. You can't own an idea.
Yeah, I think that I'm a kind of mixed feelings about it. I think it's a craze, and I think that it is going to, you know, die away to some extent. But on the other hand, I think there are some interesting applications of it. I think here's a JPEG of a rock or a, you know, monkey or whatever, that's pretty, you know, uninteresting to me personally, and why anyone would pay the kind of money that they're paying for these things makes no sense. But I think there are some interesting things. So, like, Quentin Tarantino, for instance, recently announced that he was going to do special NFTs of Pulp Fiction, like, give somebody some unreleased clip or something like that. So, if you if you really do get something that's uncopyable, something that's never been seen before, like where I think Kevin Smith said he was going to release an entire movie to somebody, a movie that no one has ever seen before, that he's making or made just for this purpose, to whoever is the top bidder. They get the total rights to the film. They can do whatever they want. They can keep it for themselves and watch it, you know, in their own, you know, home theater and never share it with anyone else. Or they can, you know, release it worldwide, give it away, charge for it. That's an interesting way to approach NFTs, where you actually are really giving something or giving away something unique to somebody.
Do you remember?
That's interesting.
Pharma Bro, Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
He bought a Wu-Tang album that was previously unreleased. And he is the only person, he may have released it since, I don't know. But they did all of that where he bought this unique one copy Wu-Tang album without using NFTs.
Right.
So I'm not sure where the NFT is really necessary.
Well, the NFT makes it easy to bid, right? Because you can just put it up on one of these NFT sites, and then you don't have to do anything else, you know, with Sotheby's Auction House or whoever the hell you'd have to do it with otherwise.
There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.